Welcome to the Jet Setting Family Travel Podcast.
My name is Rod.
And I'm Santi.
And today we are going to talk all about
Vietnam.
What was your favorite part about Vietnam, Santi?
My favorite part about Vietnam was learning the war.
And what did you learn about the war?
That it was really sad and that people used to kill and the Vietnamese used to live underground and set up traps, and the Americans used to drop bombs and try to hide and shoot them with their guns.
One of the places that we got to see those tunnels was the Cu Chi Tunnels, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell me about the Cu Chi Tunnels?
The Cu Chi Tunnels is a place where you get to see all the tunnels that the Vietnamese made, and then you get to go down in them, but you don't get to explore the whole tunnel. You just get to see it go in there.
And is war a good thing or a bad thing?
Bad.
Why?
Because it kills, and killing is not good.
That's right. You mean you need to have people be happy and be nice to each other, right?
Yeah.
But there were a lot of beautiful things about Vietnam, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell me what one of them was?
One of them was the sunset.
The sunset
was very pretty.
Mm-hmm. And what was the sunset like?
The sunset was very pink and a little bit orange.
Mm-hmm. We were at some beaches in Hoi An. We were next to some rivers, right?
Yeah.
And what else did we do in Hoi An?
We also took a bunch of pictures.
We sure did. There were beautiful lights and lanterns there that were all over the old city there. And we also got to make or select and pick our own leather shoes, didn't we?
Yeah.
Which shoes did you pick?
I picked the best ones.
Yeah, and what was so good about them?
That they looked really classy.
Mm-hmm. You had these brown leather parts, and then in the back, there's this kind of dark blue leather, and it all came together looking super, super classy.
And there's one little tiny part on the top, which was orange.
Mm-hmm. So would you recommend Vietnam to the people that are listening here today?
Yeah, I recommend them because they're really nice.
And why are they so nice?
Because they love kids.
They did. They were all smiling at you and wanted to play with you and hold you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They really did want to.
Well, now it's time for Mom and Dad to give our thoughts on what we thought about Vietnam, because it's time for bed for you, right?
Yeah, it's time for bed for me.
Yeah, what do you want to say to the listeners?
And I want to say for the listeners, we hope you look at our channel called The Jet Setting Family and hit that notification button and hit the like and subscribe to our channel.
So glad you chimed in, Santi. We always love hearing your perspective.
As for the rest of our adventures in Vietnam, we began in Ho Chi Minh City, where we spent a couple of days, and one of the big focuses that we wanted to have there was to get the Vietnamese perspective on the Vietnam War. They have a couple of museums there, as well as some sites that we were able to visit just to see what the Vietnamese people thought of the war. You know, coming from the United States, we get a certain perspective as to what were the U.S. motivations for being there. It was very different from what the Vietnamese thought of the conflict itself. And one of the places that we were able to experience that was the War Remnants Museum. It's right there in downtown Ho Chi Minh City. It's pretty easy to get to, and it was really eye-opening. One of the big things that we noticed right away was it's very much coming from the Vietnamese perspective. So you have a lot of terminology. I don't know if that's the right word, but they labeled the Americans as, you know, invaders and destroyers. And it was hard to read some of that and hard to see some of the pictures, but it was also very informative.
I will say it felt kind of awkward at first going, I don't know, you're in these museums and it obviously has a lot of anti-American terminology, as Rod said, which a part of me can't blame them for. It's their perspective. And also the war was very controversial in the U.S. So it was interesting for us. We took time to research more why the Americans went to begin with, mm-hmm. why the Vietnamese felt the way they did. And we really just wanted to go in it with open eyes and without necessarily picking sides, but just trying to get as informed as possible. Mm-hmm. But I did feel awkward at times, you know, standing there reading these things, saying things like, were these evil people who wanted to come and, as Rod said, destroy their land.
Yeah, that we were just there to kill women and children, right?
So there was times where you're reading this and then you're surrounded by people from Vietnam and you're wondering, like, are they mad I'm here? And then I realized that this is what their story is. This is their side. But the most of the people in Vietnam are so far past it in present day. Mm-hmm. Like, it seemed like people were grateful we were taking the time to be there to learn. People were very friendly to us. And so after being there for a little bit and realizing, yes, this is their history. Yes, this is their story. Yes, this is the perception. But that's not necessarily how the people feel about Americans today.
It really was a big difference between what we saw within the War Remnants Museum and what we saw in the rest of Ho Chi Minh City, because the city itself is very beautiful. We were very surprised. There was still traffic there, but everything moved. Everything seemed like it was organized chaos, if that's an interesting way to put it.
The people were so kind, though.
But the people, yes, it was...
I felt like more people go to Thailand. So you have these preconceived notions of it's what places are going to be like. And honestly, we didn't know many people that traveled to Vietnam with kids prior. You know, would it be easy for us, who has Santi, a really picky eater, to find all of his foods for him? How will we be treated as Americans? I mean, I think I did have a little bit of hesitation. And then now looking back, it was silly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just like any other place we were in Southeast Asia as far as being able to find foods for our children. And the people there, like Rod said, the war for them is a really far part of the history, kind of like in the United States. Like, if you went to Pearl Harbor and you're sitting there and you're engrossing yourself in the Pearl Harbor experience and learning about the war, you're thinking about it in that moment and your mind is very heavy in that scenario. But in the everyday American world, we're not thinking about World War II. We're not thinking about the bombings that happened in Pearl Harbor. Like, the United States as a whole hasn't forgotten its history, but it's not necessarily like a daily part of our daily life that we're thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we come in, as Rod was saying, and we're trying to engross ourselves into learning, but the people that live there are so far past it in a way.
Yeah, and we can kind of see that in the Cu Chi tunnels. That was the other site that we visited. It was about an hour and a half, maybe, drive from Ho Chi Minh City. And it was really interesting just seeing their response to, you know, the American involvement and how they were able to do so much with so few resources. That was the surprising part. It was inspiring. I mean, they dug it with their bare hands and with very minimal tools. It was hundreds of miles of underground tunnels, and they were able to find the right ways to survive down there. They were able to turn unexploded bombs into their own kind of usable weapons, and just trying to see, or just seeing that and how they were able to respond with such few resources was really awe-inspiring. And it's something that we didn't have insight to before we got to Vietnam.
I don't know how much we've talked about it on the podcast, but we're a military family from the U.S., mm-hmm. which adds a whole other level of emotions to it, because you think, you know, one, had we been older, we might have fought the war. Two, you're looking at these traps in somewhat in admiration that these people were so resilient and had very little resources and were capable of fighting off the U.S., who had so much. So you're looking at it in awe and inspired. And then you're also thinking how many American wives back home lost their husbands on this land you're standing on. So for me, it was a very intense day. There was a lot of mixed emotions all over the map, but it was such an incredible experience to be able to be there, and I think it really was powerful.
So we left Ho Chi Minh City with kind of heavy hearts, but from there we moved north up the coast to Da Nang. Just north of Da Nang, there is a resort that we were able to work with called Angsana Lang Co. And they are right there on the beach, really peaceful, really kind of remote part of Vietnam that they built this resort, and they continue to build these beautiful homes, residences, and hotel spaces. And we spent 5 days there kind of winding down a little bit from that heavy experience that we had and being able to have the kids play around, go on a kids club, do a couple of fun things like riding on a quad bike. I've never seen a bike for four people, especially with kids, and we were able to ride one around the resort. So that was definitely something that we needed as a family, just because we did think a lot about the conflict while we were in Ho Chi Minh City, whether that's warranted or not. It's just something that we were interested in and did. But after Ang Sana, we went to Hoi An, which is 45 minutes south of Da Nang. And it, as Jess mentioned, very magical.
It's kind of in the middle of the both the river and the ocean. So you can have days at the beach. You can walk along the river. It's lit up with these lanterns. You could take a boat down the river at night. And it's just cute. And they close off the street. So in Southeast Asia, we found walking around with kids can be difficult in a lot of cities. There's mopeds and tuk-tuks and bikers. And it's just chaos in a lot of places. Even in smaller towns, it's just, I mean, organized chaos. And so to have these streets shut off for just pedestrians is like a huge sigh of relief, because it's like we can actually walk and relax and not be like scared our children will be ran over.
Yeah. And one of the other things that we found really surprising was there is a really not big, but it was easy to find an expat community there of families that also travel. We are members of a couple of kind of world schooling and family travel communities on the internet. And we were able to reach out and find other families there to meet up with, to kind of show us around and kind of give us recommendations on the best places to go. One of which was Sun World in Bana Hills. It's about an hour away from Hoi An. And that's where you see, I don't know if you've seen this before, but it's this viral picture of a bridge on top of a mountain that kind of just juts out of the mountain with these huge cement hands that are holding up this bridge. It looks really unique. It looks really picturesque.
It looks like the bridge is going to be like lifted up to the heavens by these hands. And if you're on it, it's like your gateway or something.
It's called the Golden Bridge. The really peculiar thing that we saw is we were really interested in going there to take pictures early so that we could beat the crowds and get a really nice picture.
We
thought that we did that.
Yeah,
we arrived there at 7:30.
I hate waking up early, but we're like determined to get this good picture. We get there and I'm stoked because when we park, we're like the first people on this tram. It's us and all these employees, like hundreds of employees. So we're like, we will be the first ones there. And then we get off and really there's no tourists there. But what there are like eight brides and their entourage like taking pictures at like every couple feet of this bridge. And I mean, they have legit photography setups with lighting and makeup artists and hair people. And first off, I'm astounded. I'm just like, these brides had to have gotten up at like 3 a.m. to look this beautiful and to be here like at this time. And then I'm just disappointed because there's slowly, we're like kind of waiting to see if we can have a moment to take a picture, and it was really difficult. And then slowly you see all the other tourists showing up and realizing the same thing. They got up early and there's no way to get a nice picture.
Probably around 9 o'clock is when most of the tourists started showing up, and it got really, really packed. It kind of made me realize that, yeah, we made the right call. Even though it sucked getting up early, it was still, even with the brides there taking pictures, there were still, it was pretty much the brides, us, and maybe like five other people.
That's true.
Yeah.
People aren't crazy like us, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I
but Sunworld itself, there is a lot more to do there. It's a nice amusement park.
It's bizarre, though. You have to admit.
It is.
It's bizarre. It's bizarre in the fact, it's not like you can't be entertained there. You could have a full day of entertainment there. But there doesn't seem to be, like, a theme. Like, there's a French section and a Jap. Like, it's like a big mesh of a lot of stuff combined in one location. It was fun. It had a little bit of something for every family member. Like, you could do a little bit of everything for every age.
Mm-hmm.
there, you know, between the cable car and the gardens and this play center and the live performances, it was definitely worth it. The bridge, the tram ride up was worth it. It was just, it was different. I don't know how to describe it. It was different. It was unique. But I do think Hoi An is definitely a place I would highly recommend going if you're in Vietnam. I thought it was pretty magical. From there, we flew to Hanoi, and we weren't in Hanoi long enough, I will say. I wish we would have had more time there.
We were there for one day.
Yeah, definitely not enough time. For us, we had to fly out of Hanoi to get to our next location, but it was more beautiful. Everyone had told us.
We were kind of warned there's going to be a lot of traffic there. It might not be kind of the cleanest looking city. It's a lot older, especially when you're comparing it to places like Hoi An and Ho Chi Minh City. But we found it to be really charming.
What I loved about both Ho Chi Minh and Hanoi is that I found it easier than a lot of cities we've been to. Like, it's a big city and it's hustling and bustling and it's busy, but you can get on these little back alley streets. Mm-hmm. And it almost feels like you're taken into like a small town, but it's like within the big city. Right. Like you get into these alleyways and it just feels like life slows down like immediately. And you get this more intimate feeling where you can interact with people. And I really enjoyed that aspect of it. And to go to like the local markets and not so much the night markets, but like the vegetable markets. I always find it fun to people watch there and see the interactions. But we found it really easy to find those places in both Hanoi and Ho Chi Minh. In Hanoi, we also went to what we, I guess, in the U.S. refer to as the Hilton Hanoi.
Yeah, it was the old French prison there that was, you know, kind of used by the French to house Vietnamese prisoners. And once the Vietnamese regained control of the country, they turned that into a prison for themselves. And the Vietnam War started, so Americans started to get put in there. It was really interesting seeing the way that they decided not specifically to preserve the entire prison. We were under the impression that this prison was going to be really big. There's going to be a lot of places to walk around and see. But what we realized when we got there is they downsized, or they pretty much took down 80% of the prison, and they built a big tower there because it's in a really central part of town. And we were always, you know, we were confused, like, why wouldn't you preserve this, use this as a historic museum? There is a museum there and it's smaller, but you still get kind of the picture of what happened there over, you know,
they have 100 models
plus years of it.
And pictures to show you what it was like prior, but it was way smaller than we anticipated.
Yeah, we got through it in an hour or less, but it was still, you know,
it was good for us to learn
good for the kids to walk around and experience a part of history that they don't really get to see or witness when they're in the U.S.
And I think it's important just to go into these places with an open mind, and maybe it'll change your perspective a little. Maybe it'll just make you more open-minded to the different sides people have in this world.
So that kind of wraps up our experience in Vietnam. Ultimately, we were there for just under 3 weeks. We feel like there's many more places in the country that we would have loved to see. We've heard so much about Hai Long Bay, which is north of Hanoi. We've heard a lot about Phu Quoc, which is the island southwest of Ho Chi Minh City. So definitely a lot of things to do there. The visas were really easy to get. We applied for them online. We just kind of submitted our pictures and our passport documentation, and we just got an email with our visas on there. Once we got to the airport, it was quick to get through. So definitely worth checking out as a country. It is amazing, filled with a lot of history, a lot of kind of intrigue, but ultimately the people there are
so
extremely kind.
To the people of Vietnam, thank you for welcoming us into your country with so much love and kindness and letting us see your side. Although many times it can differ, it's fascinating, and we appreciate the willingness for you guys to allow us to see and witness and learn.
And thank you for listening to this episode. We are now on our way to Cambodia, where we are off for some more unique adventures in Siem Reap and also a cruise along the Tonle and Mekong rivers, which is something we're really excited about. Should be one of our more unique experiences that we've had. So keep an eye out for that on following episodes. But in the meantime, we really appreciate any of your feedback, and also to leave a review on iTunes or wherever it is that you listen to your podcast. So thank you once again. Feel free to reach out to us at any time. hello@thejetsettingfamily.com or @thejetsettingfamily on any of our social media channels. We really appreciate your support, and always, you know, are glad that you're here along on this adventure with us.
So until next week,
happy jet setting. The music for today's show has been provided by The Long Valley, with additional music by BMC.
The Podglomerate, a sonic universe.
Ever wonder if they were listening to you? So did Al Franken. Yep, that Al Franken. He was just on our podcast impersonating his former Senate colleagues in the name of privacy.
What the Hack with Adam Levin will make you feel more chill about the unchill things that happen online and off, with easy-to-understand tips to make your life a little less hackable.
Join us as we look at the ways people get scammed and hacked. What the Hack with Adam Levin is a weekly cyber true crime show that unravels a fresh new hell every Monday.
What the Hack with me, Adam Levin, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Jennifer Lincoln, board certified OBGYN, and you may know me from social media, where I spend a lot of my time educating about everything reproductive health. This podcast is called Let's Talk About Down There, and that's what I'm doing. I am talking about down there with no shame, no stigma, a lot of fun, and a lot of education. And why? Because when we talk about these things, we educate and we empower ourselves. Call in, leave a question, and know that it's okay to have questions about your body, and we're going to answer them.